We'll take a break here. We'll come back with more. Mark Levine from the Inside Scoop will join me.
You actually just walked in the door.
In this hour. So, yes. Yeah, so
I'll be there.
I've got more to say. So, obviously, I want to talk a little bit about Kim Kardashian before, you know, he gets on the air and starts getting all intellectual on me.
Yeah, please don't include
I'm
me to that
part. I'm not an intellectual
part.
Type.
I try to avoid saying that name on the air.
Yeah, I heard it.
Because I have self-respect.
Dude, that I'll have Nancy Skinner on to talk about Kim Kardashian. Thanks.
Yeah,
because
she heard
I don't
the
really
new
talk
promo
about
art.
Anything.
Oh, she did?
She heard the new promo.
I am stereotyped as the blonde. All I want to talk. Oh, my God. So did you see, like, Kim Kardashian's?
Yeah, that's what I expect you for, Nancy.
So prego. On that note, we will take a break, and it's still the second hour of the Nancy Skinner Live. So I'll drive that bus the first hour.
Over the cliff.
A lot more coming up about the campaign. I want to talk about the 1 year anniversary of Bin Laden, some GOP fallout controversy over their spokesperson, and lots more. So do stay tuned and call in at 202-889-9797 or... It's 1-800, right? We have 1-800 as well.
1-800-889-9797.
The number to the program, the Nancy Skinner Live program featuring the fluff. I'm the fluff, and Mark Levine is the... I'm the fluff. We'll have to think of some good... I'll think of something on the other side of how to describe Nancy and Mark. And you and your calls coming up on Nancy Skinner Live.
The thinker, Nancy. Hey,
You're listening.
Okay, here we go. Nancy Skinner Live. Just the fluff. When it's Nancy Skinner Live. And for the facts, we tune in to Mark Levine.
Yes, thank you.
Inside
Scoop. We have fluff and facts. So there you go.
We'll have to mix a little bit of that fluff with some facts and have Mark Levine join the program for this hour of the program. Hi, Mark Levine.
Hello.
Mr. Fact Man.
You know, I don't even remember what I said in that promo. So I really don't. I don't know. Pete tortured me, and I just said a few things.
Talk about Kim Kardashian.
Well, that's... I don't know anything about Kim Kardashian. I don't want to know anything about Kim Kardashian. I rely on you for things like that.
To believe that that's my beat. That's what I talk about is Kim Kardashian.
Well, I figure
someone's gotta do it.
Exactly. Someone has to, and it's not going to be me, so.
Of course, you just missed my whole deconstruction of the meltdown of the entire
world. I did not. I heard it in the car as I was driving, and I thought it was dead on. How do you like that? I'm actually complimenting you.
And I did not use the word... my God, at all in that entire analysis.
Well, you should have, because that's how people felt when the economy was falling apart in 2007-2008. Oh,
my point is that I can actually have a coherent discussion with facts and intelligence and a little...
I've never disputed that.
And she can look good doing
it. So now,
I've never disputed that.
So, Mark, speaking of work with me here, okay, toss me a bone on this one, okay? Trust me. Trust me as the driver of the bus this hour.
These female-male things. She wants a bone. What else do you want?
She wants you to drive her bus.
She wants you to drive her bus. Okay. All right.
Go with this. I know this is going to seem like a weird intro to the next topic.
I'm waiting.
But I want you to trust me.
With bated breath.
Okay? Just trust me. This was a piece that I saw on CNN that, to me, I thought was quite relevant. We'll see if you agree.
Okay.
He is a 2-year-old golden retriever, but the one thing he can't retrieve is his sight. This is more or less what he's seen since birth. But now Tanner, the blind dog, has a guide dog. Meet Blair, a 1-year-old female. Now, not only is Tanner blind, he has epileptic seizures that cause him to lose control of his bodily functions. After his adoptive owner died, Tanner's seizures got worse. A retriever rescue group brought him here to the Woodland Rest Animal Hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I can tell you it was more than one time I've recommended putting Tanner to sleep.
And though the situation looked black, so did the solution.
Just your everyday street dog.
Blair was a stray, brought in with a gunshot wound to the leg. She was a nervous wreck, a until she and Tanner bonded in the play yard. Take it from a singer whose eyesight matches Tanner's. Knowing you can
always count on me. The two of them together have been a remarkable synergistic effect.
There you have it. A blind dog being led by a street dog on a leash.
It sounds like the blonde leading the blind.
Heartwarming story that it is. It made me think of the Veep race. Who should Romney pick to be his street dog and take his leash and lead him?
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I was waiting to get the segue. It took me a moment.
That's what I read your notes. Read the chat.
Right, right. Okay, I just thought the blonde leading the blind.
So yes, there was a blind dog, and there was a scrappy street dog that came in,
right.
And actually, in the visual, picks the leash up and literally drags this dog to where it needs to be, to water or whatever.
I said, sounds fluffy to me, Nancy. God.
This is the Veep. This is the setup for my Veep race discussion. Who is the VP for Mitt Romney now that he is the ascendant candidate? we think if he gets Rick Santorum's endorsement, which is still on the table. If he does, then he'll win. But if he doesn't, I don't know. All bets are off.
And if Ron Paul keeps racking up delegates, this could get really interesting.
No. There's nothing ever interesting about Ron Paul from day one. There still is not anything interesting about Ron Paul. He's not affected this race in any way. Sorry, Pete.
Okay.
Oh, that's going to disappoint chokers all across America.
I know.
Yeah, sorry. Bummer.
I've worked with Ron Paul.
So, Who might this you know, street dog be? I mean, they're now everyone is wandering into this speculation of who his best choice is, because obviously he has some concerns there. He can't be overshadowed. So we could look at a number of VP choices, Mark, and I want to deconstruct them. But
okay.
We're talking street dogs, just that kind of person who's not going to be a thoroughbred, okay, that's, you know, going to outshine him, as some say Chris Christie might, with his political...
Marco Rubio?
His skill, his political... Yes, he does have much... You got to say, the guy is a better glad hander for sure, and probably much better at a quip, a remark, and frankly, probably a lot smarter, so that would be a problem.
Chris Christie will never be chosen.
You would need a street dog. So there's obviously the obvious candidate choice here is the Romney Nugent ticket.
And if you want more of those kinds of evil anti-American people in the Supreme Court, then don't get involved and let Obama take office again. Because I'll tell you this right now, if Barack Obama becomes the president in November again, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year.
So how do you like that, the Romney Nugent ticket? Mark, what do you think about that?
We can always hope Nugent will be dead or in jail by this time next year.
Oh, no. Don't go there. Don't stoop to that.
I'm just saying. I mean, Nugent wants it to happen. I mean, the things that I can agree with Ted Nugent on. So
cat scratch fever.
Yes, and I think he's off the hook, I read, actually.
He had a nice little visit from the Secret Service. Right. Actually, what he said this year was not near as horrible as what he said 4 years ago when he talked about, I think, sticking a machine gun up his something. I mean, really, really vicious, violent assassination humor. Whatever.
Yeah, which is a little bit of a...
Yeah, because that's so funny.
...oxymoron. And I often brag about the people that hail from my home state of Michigan. I usually leave him off the list.
That's
but
smart.
He does live here. Yes, he lives in Michigan.
It's not. I don't blame Michiganders for
still lives here. now... before I want to continue with this, the information on the race here,
on the vice presidents,
on the vice presidency. But before we even get that, let's see. We need to talk about the qualifications even for the president, because Grover Norquist has clearly defined. He has clearly defined what we need to do as we look at the president. And. And this may also help us in the vice presidential race. Surely you heard this, Mark.
We are not auditioning for fearless leader. We don't need a president to tell us what direction to go. We know what direction we want to go. We want the Paul Ryan budget, which cuts spending $6 trillion. This is very easy. It block grants all the 77 plus welfare systems. It takes all of these unfunded liabilities and makes them fully funded and individually controlled by individuals. It takes spending from 25% of GDP down to 20% in 10 years and then down to 15% in out years. The Republicans in the House have passed 24 plus bills that create jobs and opportunity and strip out regulations. We just need a president to sign this stuff. We don't need someone to think it up or design it.
No, thinking is a bad idea.
The leadership now for the modern conservative movement for the next 20 years will be coming out of the House and the Senate. So focus on electing the most conservative Republican who can win in each House seat and the most conservative Republican who can win in each Senate seat, and then pick a Republican with enough working digits to handle a pen to become President of the United States.
Oh, boy, I like this. I like this, Nancy.
Oh, my God. So apparently,
No. I got the new slogan.
It's not.
I got the new slogan.
Assumption of can this person take over, you know, on day one? Should there be a death or an assassination of president? This vice presidential candidate search just really needs to look at someone's digits.
No. This is great, Nancy. It's a whole new Republican slogan. Don't think, vote Republican. I love it. You can do it in four words.
That's exactly what he said.
Don't think, vote Republican. That's great. We don't need someone who thinks and has ideas. We need someone who can wield a pen. That's great. You know, that by that standard, Sarah Palin is qualified to be president.
She's overqualified to be president.
That's right. She can wield a pen and a gun.
A gun in a hand, and I'm sure she could be a hand model.
Wouldn't that be great? The United States Eagle has arrows and an olive branch for peace in its wings. Sarah Palin would have a pen and a gun. that is the face of today's Republicans' party. I like that image.
On a serious note, honestly,
she could kind of look like an eagle too.
this really is. They are pretty much suggesting, saying that, hey, you know, they're going to come together. A lot of people felt like it matters who he picks. The reason I'm playing this cut is it really matters who he picks to shore up. And traditionally, a vice president is dependent on where your weakness is, where you need to show up, whether it's geographically. Does he need to pick a Rick Santorum because he needs Pennsylvania?
That'll never happen. Never happen in a trillion years. I will bet any amount of money.
Conservative credentials. But they're saying he just needs someone who can hold a pen. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, he will not pick Santorum. Nor will he pick Chris Christie. I will bet any amount of money on that. Marco Rubio still seems like the safest, most safest choice.
No Paul Ryan?
No, never. Never. He'll never pick Paul Ryan. I mean, you know, he could pick someone really boring like Rob Portman. But I actually think Marco Rubio, he's Florida, he's Latino, even if he is Cuban. But, you know, Republicans can't tell the difference among Latinos, so that's okay. You know, he's got some Tea Party credentials. He's not, he's not a radical out there crazy person. I think he's the obvious choice. I don't know who else. I mean, it won't be Santorum.
I gotta throw something into the mix that was big news here over the weekend.
I mean, I wish he'd choose Sarah Palin, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh gosh, no. The big story here was that, and at first I saw this, I almost died. But as I read the story, I said, "Oh my God!" That the likely choice of Mitt Romney is Rick Snyder, the governor of Michigan.
Who?
Rick Snyder. He is the governor
Who?
Of Michigan. Right. Who is exactly why he would be picked?
Michiganders don't even like him.
Of course they don't. But right. here is why.
He would carry his home state.
A CBS News analyst looked at the convention and the GOP convention, and they looked at which delegation, how close they were to the convention center, their hotels. And traditionally, the delegation closest to the convention center has the most amount of rooms is the guy.
That's ridiculous. That is so tea leaves.
No, wait. There's more.
I'll make a bet
Michigan
against
had
that.
The closest hotel. I'll tell you other reasons why it's not that far out there.
Because he's from Michigan, Romney.
No. Because he was a CEO of Gateway Computers.
Okay.
So he has that. He shares with, you know, if Romney's going to ride the "I'm a capitalist and I'm proud of it" than to have a former CEO of Gateway Computers as his running mate.
Excuse me, I just fell asleep. No one cares about Rick Snyder.
Okay, do you get it? That's what's good about him. All right, now, he ran his campaign when he ran for governor, his commercials, his own commercials in his own words. Every one of them said, I am one tough nerd. Okay? That is, Google it. One tough nerd.
I believe you. I still don't think anyone cares about Rick Snyder.
That is the point. That's what I'm saying, Mark.
No. She doesn't. No.
Somebody that no one cares about.
No.
That just doesn't overshadow him, which Snyder won't. That can't be more charismatic, and there's only one person in the country that cannot be more charismatic than Romney, and that is Snyder, because he ran as one tough nerd. So you have a business nerd that no one cares about. He's not going to, even Marco Rubio is more handsome, more dynamic. Romney doesn't want that.
Why doesn't he want that?
Rubio doesn't wear mom jeans and sing off key.
Hopefully Rick Snyder doesn't either.
Yes, he does. Oh, my God. He's completely a nerd.
No. Wait, tell me, explain this to me, Nancy, because I'm not sure I agree with your thesis here. Why doesn't Romney want someone more exciting? I mean, the reason why John McCain picked Sarah Palin, I mean, before we all find out that she was a lunatic.
How did that work out?
No, but the good points about Sarah Palin, again, before we found out that she was completely unqualified to be president, but McCain didn't know that because they chose her in like 48 hours, was that she was exciting and new and fresh. Explain to me, because I'm not so sure I agree with you, why Romney wouldn't want a Marco Rubio who, yes, has all these things that he doesn't have, a personality, a base, a putative claim to be Latino. I mean, you know, no, he is Latino, but he's. I mean, Florida is the ultimate swing state. It seems the obvious choice.
McCain was down, and they needed a game changer.
Romney's down.
Remember, if you haven't even seen Game Change yet, shame on you.
I don't have HBO. All right, if you want to invite me over, I am too cheap for that.
For $10.
I am too cheap for that.
I'll get your card on the internet.
All right. Thanks.
Now, Romney is not down.
Like, Romney is down. He's not as far down as McCain was, but he is down. Obama is more likely to win this election than Romney, even given the job numbers that just came out.
You missed my entire first
half. I heard you. I just don't agree with you.
The filter of the media and the effect that will have on the facts. You look at the facts.
No, this election will be a lot closer than 08. I agree with you, but I still think it is Obama's to lose.
Okay, so when we come back, I will tell you exactly why.
All right.
And you can weigh in at 202-889-9797, 202-889-9797. Off the wall possibility, Rick Snyder, Mr. Business Guy.
In mommy jeans.
From Michigan, and one more reason is that Romney was losing Michigan because of the auto bailout thing.
They think
Michigan being one of the key swing states that a Snyder vote could possibly turn that around. But you say who you think he will pick again. A female may be something important since he's completely destroyed the female vote with a war on women. Possibly, and who would said woman be? Lots of questions here, and not many answers. 202-889-9797. As we continue with the Nancy Skinner Live Show right here on 1480 AM, We Act Radio. Here we go. It is Nancy Skinner Live right here on 1480 AM We Act Radio. My very special guest this hour, the substance of the show,
I'm a little bit special. Thank you. I appreciate
that. that was in jest. You're not. You are both substance and you are
special.
You are special.
Special
and entertaining as well.
Thank you.
As we continue our discussion about...
For people who've heard Stephen Lynch, do you know who Stephen Lynch is?
I do not.
Oh, you need to check him out. He's this comedian, songwriter. He's terrific. And he has a song about Special Ed, who's just a little bit special. So every time I hear the word special, I think of that song. Check it out, Nancy. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay. I'll check back in with you when I'm done with TMZ and Reading People magazine.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for that.
In fact, we're talking VP picks, and to your point about Marco Rubio, he was on Fox News Sunday today. And Chris Wallace is pointing out in this piece on that, because obviously I'm on the air, so I can't watch that. I'm talking. But as Wallace indicates, Rubio is the pick of Republican voters at the grassroots level.
No question.
By contrast, the Republican insiders want Ohio Senator Rob Portman, who is like Tim Pawlenty in that he is bland and beige and unnoticeable. Ha! That's exactly what Rick Snyder is, bland and beige and unnoticeable.
Rick Snyder will never happen. You are so Michigander-focused. You need to get out of state a little more often, Nancy. It ain't going to happen.
Okay. I don't know about that. But let's, before we go there, because I do want to talk, I wouldn't rule out Chris Christie. I really wouldn't because of a number, because Florida is so key. Why do you think no way to Chris Christie?
Because actually I think Chris Christie is strong in a way that, when you talk about someone who would outshine Mitt Romney, yeah. Chris Christie is that. Chris Christie is someone who very much could have won the Republican nomination. He is someone who Republicans just, they go gaga over. They go gaga over Marco Rubio.
How are you saying, though, I'm going to make you be consistent here.
No, I'm going to be consistent.
You like
Christie is too strong.
The shining Rubio.
I'll tell you the difference.
But you don't like the slightly larger shining version in Chris Christie.
Well, I don't know that Christie shines, and I don't really want to go there.
Christie does shine.
No, he actually outshines Romney in a way that Rubio doesn't. No, because Rubio, partly it's weird. Partly it's age, and partly it's demeanor. Rubio is still new to the scene. He's only been a senator for, 2 years? He is seen as a new rising star. Chris Christie is seen as a seasoned star.
And
the difference is that people want Chris Christie to be president instead of Romney. That's true to some extent of Rubio, but Chris Christie, here's the main thing. Chris Christie, you cannot shut him up. He has got a very, very big mouth, and he's got someone, he is someone who is not afraid to say anything to anyone, no matter how harsh and awful it is, and you don't want that in a vice president. Rubio would take orders from Romney. Chris Christie never would.
But see, Rubio hasn't been tested, and I think one of the lessons from the last election was that he has not been tested by fire. He came from the Tea Party, all right?
Right. Well, but so he's not a real Tea Party guy.
Security into the Tea Party, so he has a lot of Dan Quayle potential, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't think so. I think he's smarter than that. I hate to give him any kind of respect. I fear Rubio probably the most.
Not saying that Quayle was stupid. Quayle was pretty seasoned.
Quayle was not that smart.
But,
and he wasn't that seasoned.
But Quayle
was like
no
gentleman
C
guy.
What stupid things
and he spelled
Rubio
potato with
could
an E.
Say. He potentially could be the male version of Sarah Palin. I mean, you know.
Rubio?
Could. She got to be a governor. He's a senator. We
didn't know anything about her
when she was governor.
No.
How much do we know about
Rubio?
She
was governor
really?
Of like a not real state.
Yeah, I mean, Florida is a real state. I mean, I dislike Florida for all kinds of reasons, but it is a real state. I mean, it's a state that matters. It's a state that electorally matters. It's a state that matters in our political dynamic. I mean, Alaska, you know, she was head of the fourth largest town, which was smaller than, you know, my neighborhood. I mean, really, like 12,000 people.
Alaska was smaller than my congressional district.
Well, exactly. So, it's just, I mean, the other thing is everyone knew that Sarah Palin was chosen because she's a woman. I mean, there are serious women. I actually think a strong candidate for Romney to choose would be Nikki Haley.
I was just going to say that. I was going to throw some women at you.
Yeah, no, because she is the most attractive woman in the Republican Party by
far. South Carolina governor.
Right.
Do you know that she is Indian?
Yes, Indian American.
So, well, I don't know how that worked out for Bobby Jindal so well.
Jindal was actually doing fine until he gave that disastrous response to Obama's speech where he kind of blinked out and it looked like he was lost in the headlights, deer headlights after he came out behind the curtain or whatever. And then he was also terrible on Katrina. No, Jindal.
The president of the United States.
Yeah, no, Jindal really killed himself. He was a rising star until he gave that speech. And also until, like, he had why have we cleaned up the oil? You know, I'm against government regulation. I'm against government regulation. Why have we cleaned up the oil spill already? No, Jindal, forget him. But I do think Nikki Haley, I was actually trying to think of women in the Republican Party, and she's the only one I could think of that has any chance of being vice presidential nominee. Can you think of any others? I couldn't think of any other who seriously has a chance of being his nominee.
Jan Brewer. What about Jan Brewer?
That's what I was just saying to Mark at the break. It'd be a great choice.
She's, you know, she's she definitely has the cojones that he's doesn't have.
Not so much in the charm department, though.
You think
he's not going to pick Jan Brewer? No. Nikki Haley, I think, is his best choice if he goes with a woman. And frankly,
but you know what? The problem is geographically, she does nothing for him because she's from South Carolina.
Well, that's
and
true.
Well,
I still think Marco Rubio is first
in terms
choice.
Of, helping with the undo the damage that was done by the Republicans in the primary against women. I don't think she's no moderate when it comes to any of these issues.
No, she's not. But she seems very nice. I'm serious. I don't usually let personality affect me at all.
We're not that stupid, really, Mark, that that we're going to forget that we're honestly having to fight for contraception and
you're not, Nancy.
Vaginal probes out of our bodies just because we think someone's nice.
Nikki Haley won't support the vaginal probes. She won't. Look, Nikki Haley comes across as a very nice, charming person. I think people like her immigrant background. Yes, she's absolutely a conservative. She's a solid conservative. I actually think if it's not Marco Rubio, those are my top two picks, Marco Rubio or Nikki Haley, if I had to pick. What are your top two? Don't tell me Rick Snyder, because then I'll just laugh.
I think, honestly, he's being considered. I do think
is he in your top two?
I do think there's something to the – have you been to conventions? I've been to the last two, Boston and Denver.
To several conventions.
There is something to the I guess I've been to more. But to the location of the delegation, to the hotel. And I do think – and this is a serious analysis because Rick Snyder is a former CEO. Not forget the fact that Gateway, he split up into making pieces.
He's never going to win Michigan. He told –
you know, tyrannical rule of Michigan – with this whole presidential, this whole, bill that basically says he can appoint a financial manager. And not only, way worse than Wisconsin, because he can get rid of the mayor, the city council, and every contract that municipality has engaged in can be breached or changed, Mr. Constitutional Professor, unilaterally. In other words, not only can, like, in Wisconsin where they could just ditch the negotiating rights here, in Michigan, he can unilaterally change the terms of any contract. If you are supplying toilet paper to the state of Michigan, he can cut in half the price and keep that contract valid.
Nancy.
That is why Rachel Maddow is the only host on television that is going ape bananas about the fact that this is not getting more coverage.
Nancy, what is Rick Snyder's approval rating in Michigan?
I bet
it's under 50%.
I would have to Google that.
It's under 50%. And that there's my case.
What is
why would he pick an unpopular governor of a state that he just told Detroit to drop dead? He's not going to win Michigan.
Because it's a Midwestern state that he doesn't want to lose.
He can't win Michigan.
What's that?
He can't win Michigan. Romney cannot win Michigan.
See, it's also his dad was the governor here.
I know, but he told Detroit to drop dead. He could win Wisconsin, maybe. I mean, he could win, I don't know. Even Pennsylvania is not completely out of the question. Michigan is completely out of the question. Ohio, he could definitely win. But Michigan, I don't think so. I mean, you live there. How can he tell the car industry to drop dead when Obama very publicly saved it and win the state of Michigan?
Because you heard him pivot. I guess you didn't because you were gone that week. He actually came out, and his campaign spokesperson, Mr. Etch-a-Sketch himself, said that Obama did exactly what Romney said he should do to save the auto industry.
No one believes that. He wrote an op-ed that said drop dead. I mean,
they are trying to Etch-a-Sketch this to change.
They're not going to succeed.
That's what I call for a managed bankruptcy. I'm not saying what's right about, what's wrong about that is that there were no financial institutions, no private financial institutions that could underwrite and manage bankruptcy. There were no Bain Capitals or Goldman Sachs that could do it.
Exactly.
But his point is he's going to try to do
He'll try.
You don't think that the Republicans have done revisionist rewrites about everything?
Look, you live in Michigan. Don't you think the economic pain there has been so bad that and the turnaround in the auto industry has been so good that no one in Michigan is going to buy this particular Etch-a-Sketch. This isn't like a little issue that he could sweep under the rug. This is a very big issue. This is the ultimate issue. It's the economy. One of the biggest things everybody knows Obama did was save the auto industry, which is based largely in Michigan. I mean, come on. Romney's going to try all kinds of things, but he will not succeed here. If Romney wins Michigan, I will, I don't know. Well, what should I do?
Be very, very careful.
I'm just trying to think of something I can say I'll do.
With Pete doing Jägermeisters on Saturday.
I will certainly do that until I end up being rolled out of.
You make sure he's hungover because he doesn't have the early shift like I do on Sunday.
I will. So. I will indeed.
So, Nancy, I gave you my top two, Marco Rubio and Nikki Haley in that order. Give me your top two. You can agree with mine if you want.
You know, I honestly don't know Marco Rubio too much. I think that what he – let me play strategist for Romney, okay? If I had to really say I wanted him to win. I would say he's got to definitely pivot to the center now, even though on HuffPo he's like, I am definitely not giving up my extremely conservative
– I don't know that he needs – he's going to pivot to the center, but in terms of a vice president, the knock on Romney among conservatives is they don't trust him, that he's conservative enough. And that's why
they don't care. Remember, that's why I played the Grover Norquist piece. They do not care.
Norquist
who it is
not a fire breathing Tea Party
you
Republican.
You asked me to say what my reason
Go
is.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
If it's an R, and that R beats Obama, they don't care. Okay,
it depends on your R.
Yeah, it totally
the conservative,
does.
The base isn't going to stay home.
They may well stay home. They're not going to vote for Obama, to be sure, but they may well stay home. They need excitement.
And the crazy wing of the party, too, would rather lose one election and swing the party wildly more to the
That's right.
That's right. Than blow those 4 years. No.
And Rubio is the Tea Party
because
guy.
You know what? The evangelical convention that in Texas and they endorsed Rick Santorum and whatever.
Right.
Boy, did they fall in line as soon as Romney was, they're on there. Romney is the guy.
They didn't fall in line. Remember how they had got so mad at Richard Grenell? We're going to talk about this in the next hour. But Romney picks a guy who's a rabid foreign policy, guy in the neoconservative, fire breathing, who happens to be gay. And they kick him out. He's not even talking about being gay. He's talking about foreign policy. And they insist that they throw him out. And Romney says, ditch the gay guy. I mean, come on. Romney does not have his right wing tethered away in a safe place. I don't think he's going to pick a moderate to be his vice president. He's going to pick someone who's a solid conservative. And why I say Rubio or Haley. He's not going to pick, Christine Todd Whitman.
Snyder would be considered a moderate. I think Rob Portman is considered a moderate.
I think
he will go the more moderate route. He will definitely throw his conservative.
There are no moderate Republicans left.
He wants to win.
He could pick Olympia Snow. I mean, come on. I'm joking, of course. There are no Republican moderates left. They've all been run out of the party.
Well, I wouldn't. Yeah, I guess. It depends on are they socially moderate or financial. I mean,
name a prominent Republican moderate that has not retired or is retiring from the Senate. Susan Collins? I mean, come on. Who's left?
Well, I got to say, again, if you break those two things into whether you're a social conservative or a
either one. Name for me a Republican moderate.
Snyder. Okay, Snyder is not a born-again, crazy, anti-contraceptive kind of guy.
It's not going to be Snyder.
Okay, he is a financial gateway. That's how he got elected. One tough nerd. His whole thing is about...
Is he like
stuff.
In
he never
Michigan?
Touches social policy.
Didn't he attack the unions in Michigan?
Yeah, and the emergency
manager.
Yeah,
that's economic policy. Absolutely. I don't think that he's going to pick a pro-union kind of guy, but I think he's going to avoid the social conservative anti-women going after.
Yeah, but Marco Rubio is not that guy either. I mean, that's not what he's known for.
Oh, maybe okay. Maybe it's down to that, or maybe he will pick a surprise, or maybe he will pick this boring Rob Portman. Okay, Portman guy.
Okay, I'm waiting. Give me your top two.
I'm thinking it's probably Snyder or Portman. Two boring white guys.
Hey, we should have a bet on this. It'll probably be neither one of our four. But I think it's much more likely to be Rubio or Haley than Snyder or Portman. So we should have a bet.
You might need, so I'll be transitioning into the next topic while you think of the bet.
Well, the bet. A night out drinking. We go out a night out drinking, and the loser pays for as many drinks as the winner can drink.
Ooh.
Okay. You and me. I will buy you all the.
I don't drink that much. It's actually an easy bet for you. I have three mixed drinks and I'm done for the night. So
three amaretto sours and you're done.
Yeah. Well, Jack and Coke, but same diff.
Is that
our bet? If it's not one of the four, the bet's off. But if it's one of those four, if it's my two, I win the bet. If it's your two, you win the bet.
Okay. Deal.
All right. It's a deal. Pete, you're the enforcer.
Awesome.
Are we talking DC or Detroit?
We'll work that out.
You should go.
You'll probably
Detroit,
come
so
to
you
me.
Get a better picture of what it is,
I don't want to go to Detroit. Ever since I saw 8 Mile, I'm scared.
M&M in burnt out houses.
That's right. I'm scared. I saw 8 Mile. I'm staying and, 8 miles away.
And Madonna and Mark Harmon and
is Madonna
Duke
from
Allen
Michigan?
And ah, boy.
Oh, that does make it a little more cool.
And Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels, who still lives here.
I like Jack Daniels better than Jeff Daniels. Thank you very much. He's from Tennessee, my home state.
So as I'm attempting a transition to the next topic in the remaining 15 minutes of the bus, the Skinner bus, I want to bring this up because this factors into the choice of vice presidential candidate because it was a big factor this week. Romney does the one thing he does not have. He may have some credentials as a business person, as a governor, some experience in that financial world, or, you know, he's going to snow job people with the fact that he knew a lot to be making so much money at Bain. But he does not have foreign policy credentials. He has no military experience. None of his sons have served in the military. This is a big weakness given that our president, after all those years of George Bush trying to smoke bin Laden out of that hole, like you can't find a 6'3" guy on a donkey in the
on dialysis
with the dialysis machine.
I think he was even taller, but go ahead.
The 1 year anniversary of the assassination of Osama bin Laden, bullet in his head. Did you get to see the NBC special, Brian Williams, on that this week?
I did
Mark?
Not.
It was actually riveting. How they went back through the history of all this, and you know, Bill Clinton had a huge team on bin Laden, and then Bush came in and pretty much dismantled that team for bin Laden, even making the comment that he didn't really care about where bin Laden was at a press conference.
Right, and Condoleezza Rice, of course, famously got that briefing. They tried to brief her during the transition, and she wasn't interested. And then finally, she gets this memo in August of 2011. Bin Laden determined to attack the United States. Remember, that came out in the hearing. She didn't want to talk about it. She's like, I believe the title was Bin Laden determined to attack the United States. And then they first have the meeting in early September to first discuss what to do with Bin Laden. Yeah, they were kind of
a little behind the ball there.
Yeah, a little behind the ball.
Yeah, if we could, go back, obviously, in that it was ridiculous what they were focused on. So he kills him. It's really interesting that the focus was on this. Just the way the decisions were made, and they went through, all of them in the situation room watching that first helicopter, which contained stealth. It was like the stealth bomber, the B-1 or whatever we called it, the B-14. In that technology was in a helicopter that no one even knew existed. They theorized it existed, so they had to destroy it afterwards. And just hearing the word, they're all in the dark at this point because the guys are finally in the Navy SEALs are in the compound. They hear the words Geronimo, nickname, that is the name, code name for bin Laden, and then they hear Geronimo, K-I-A. There was a brief pause where they breathed, but nobody could breathe easily because these guys weren't out of there yet.
Right, right. And they had a helicopter that crashed.
There was news. Yeah, the first helicopter.
You know, a lot of people don't know this. They bring this up in the Brian Williams episode that Obama insisted on an extra helicopter. That they say that the originally they were only going to fly one or two, and mm-hmm. Obama insisted on the extra helicopter in case there's a problem, which turned out to be crucial because there was a problem.
You know what? To my knowledge, I didn't see it from the very beginning. I could have missed that, but no, I did not know.
Yeah, no. And the third helicopter was Obama's idea. That's right, because they would have had to leave people behind, or they wouldn't be able to take Obama's body, Osama's body. No, there were a lot of things where that third helicopter was absolutely necessary when they destroyed the other one. And Obama said, even though, because some said, three is harder than two to hide and it makes more noise. And Obama said, no, we need the safety helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was asked by Brian Williams, because he was interviewed in this thing, did he think about Jimmy Carter, in the episode with Jimmy Carter?
Sure.
And he paused and he said, you know, I thought about it. Of course, we, you know, it's something you always look at history.
For those who don't remember, Jimmy Carter tried to save the Iranian hostages back in the late 1970s and sent 8 helicopters into the desert, and they all were destroyed in sandstorms. And a very embarrassing episode, and a lot of Americans died, and of course the hostages were not freed.
Mm-hmm.
Which would, you know, if you didn't have a spine, would be something that you would, as a president, would that lesson, would that potentially bad thing happening to you, would make you reconsider even doing such a thing. But when he was asked about it, Obama said, you know, I thought we all, of course you know about it, you think about it, but I really was focused on, this is what I said I was going to do the whole time I was campaigning, that I would kill bin Laden, that I would get him, that they would kill or capture. And they actually did. The McRaven, who ran the whole thing, even when the helicopter crashed, they said he was completely, he didn't even change, the tone of his voice was not stressed. It was like mission amended, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, just this thing was so worked out. These guys were so professional. But he said, I said I was going to do it, and if I had, I said if I had the opportunity to do it, I would do it, and I had the opportunity, and there was some risk, and reportedly, Joe Biden thought it was too much risk. And so it wasn't as if it was some cakewalk where everyone just said go, 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 and he had to just say yes. He had a serious, he said he spent the whole night, he went to hit dinner with his family, he went to the Correspondents' Dinner that night.
Right.
And then he went to dinner with his family, and he excused himself. No one knew, not his wife, nobody knew. Hillary did not tell Bill Clinton. Nobody told anybody. Hillary went to a wedding, a friend of Chelsea Clinton's, and someone asked her at the wedding, "What are we ever going to get bin Laden?" And she says, you know, I never know. You know, we never know, but we're going to keep on trying. And she goes, and on that, I got to leave. And that's when they all, you know, had to reconvene for the what they knew was going to go down. And so he said his answer to that was, I said I was going to do it. I took the shot. I stayed up. I didn't sleep that night. You know, very little sleep with that very, you know, important decision. He knew. He said, you know, this is the end of your presidency. If something went wrong, boom. But beyond that, he said, my greatest concern was the loss of lives of these SEALs and the blow to the geopolitical blow that this would cause if we went in and failed in this attempt.
Well, not only that, but Mitt Romney very famously said that, you know, we shouldn't devote all this time and effort to search.
I'm getting there. That's where I'm getting. So as my lead into the topic about why he may need a vice.
Did not mean to steal your thunder there. Go ahead.
Why he may need somebody with a little more military cojones is exactly because of this. The president was asked directly because he went to Afghanistan the week of the anniversary, was he doing a victory lap? You know, not like landing on a aircraft carrier in a fighter jet with the football stuffed in your pants that you're spiking was before the job was done. Wasn't a victory, an inappropriate victory laugh, but he was questioned at a press conference about this.
Well, let me make a couple of points. First of all, Chris, I hardly think that you've seen any excessive celebration taking place here. I think that people, the American people, rightly remember what we as a country accomplished in bringing to justice somebody who killed over 3,000 of our citizens. And it's a mark of the excellence of our intelligence teams and our military teams. A political process that worked. And I think for us to use that time for some reflection, to give thanks to those who participated, is entirely appropriate, and that's what's been taking place. As far as my personal role and what other folks would do, I just recommend that everybody take a look at people's previous statements in terms of whether they thought it was appropriate to go into Pakistan and take out bin Laden. I assume that people meant what they said when they said it. That's been at least my practice. I said that I'd go after bin Laden if we had a clear shot at him, and I did. If there are others who have said one thing and now suggest they do something else, then I'd go ahead and let them explain it.
So that, Mark, is what you're referring to as the criticism he is receiving for excessive celebration.
While that was playing, I was going to the internet and reading about the fact that Robert Gates, our defense secretary, had been the director of the CIA, Stansfield Turner's executive assistant in 1979, sure. when right. Jimmy Carter ordered the 7 helicopters in Iran that got crashed. Anyway, and it's Obama, based on Gates' concerns, ordered 2 additional. So there were going to be 2 that went in, and 4 went in for a backup. There actually was a backup to the backup, and it's what Obama ordered. And of course, it's a good thing he did, since one of them crashed. If there had only been 2 and one had crashed, they would have had to get everything into the one. Remember, they took not just Bin Laden's body and all the people out that came in 2 helicopters. You know, they would have had to get them all out in one. But plus, they had all those materials, those very useful terrorist materials, where they had thousands and tens of thousands of papers and writings and computer hard drives and so forth. It would have been very hard to get all that out in one helicopter in the time they had. And so it's very, very important that not only did Obama order the raid, but they ordered the raid in the right way.
He had thought it through, mm-hmm. probably in consultation with Bob Gates, who everyone looked to when the helicopter crashed, by the way. Like, oh my gosh. Okay, so here's they went nuts all over the media about, oh, look at him. He's taking a, he's using this a political event. He's using the death. I think I heard him say that we as a country did this, that we should be looking at the excellence of the intelligence and the military folks who made it happen, and the political process that made it happen. And it's a moment of reflection and great gratitude for those people that actually made it happen in the SEALs. So to me, his first, everything he said was, you know, everybody else. He gave credit to everybody else.
And he's always done that.
At the end said, look at what somebody said about it, if they're going to politically say something. And what did Mitt Romney say? This is what they were all basing it on. He was on, it was an MSNBC debate in 2007. The transcript reads, because I'll play it. A lot of people say, well, he just said, I wouldn't move heaven and earth to get him. But apparently, and I'm reading this from this is the transcript that I'm reading from Jonah Goldberg's blog. So I'll, you know, assume it's accurate, but that's a tough one. That's a risky assumption. Romney said, thank you. Of course, we'll get Bin Laden. Oh, he was asked, the question was, oh yeah, of course we'll get Bin Laden and track him wherever he has to go and make sure he pays for the outrage he exacted upon America. The moderator said, can we move heaven and earth to do it? And he said, we'll move everything to get him, but I don't want to buy into the Democratic pitch that this is all about one person, Osama Bin Laden, because after we get him, there's going to be another. Now, listen to this, Mark, this is more interesting. There's going to be another, and this was not brought up in the debate. This is the rest of his answer. There's going to be another and another. He said, this is about Shia and Sunni. This is about Hezbollah and Hamas and Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood. This is a worldwide jihadist effort to try and cause the collapse of moderate Islamic governments and replace them with a caliphate. They ultimately want to bring down the United States of America. This is a global effort we're going to have to lead to overcome this jihadist effort. It's more than Osama bin Laden, but he's going to pay and he will die. Problem here is that
I got a lot of problems there.
Shia, Sunni,
it really shows a lack of understanding.
Every Muslim group in the world and called them all the jihadists.
There's a huge difference between Al-Qaeda and the average Shia or Sunni Muslim. And Hezbollah and Hamas are terrorist groups, to be sure, but they're mostly focused on Israel, not the United States. They don't have the same goals as Al-Qaeda. There's a whole bunch. I mean, look, he's right that there are a whole bunch of terrorist groups out there, but he's absolutely wrong to lump them all in as if they all work together. A lot of them hate each other. Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden famously hated each other.
We just replaced the Sunni bad guy with the Shia bad guy.
And they're very different. And to understand, you know, Iran, which is a threat, which is a Shia threat, and Osama bin Laden, which is a Sunni threat, he's also wrong to suggest that Al-Qaeda, that not hitting this one man in Al-Qaeda, he seems to suggest it won't dismember Al-Qaeda. As it turns out, if those who know Al-Qaeda know that Osama bin Laden was an extremely important leader, that the guy who's ahead of it now, Zahariri in Egypt, has nowhere near the following. The whole Arabian Peninsula, Al-Qaeda doesn't trust this Egyptian guy.
Osama bin Laden was the one guy who held it all together. Al-Qaeda is infinitely more weak because we killed bin Laden. The one man turned out to be very important.
Obama had, under the Obama administration, Team Obama had knocked out a lot of the main structure of leadership prior to bin Laden.
That's true, too.
So it's like taking out your hit the whole offensive line before you get the quarterback.
That's exactly.
Okay?
That's a good analogy. I agree.
Oh, always back to my dad's, the football coach, and his analogy. On financial matters, it's usually hot dog stands. On other matters, it's football. So you are correct, sir. You mark ding, 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 that you caught the important part of this debate that was left out this week, that everybody said excessive celebration, he was spiking the ball. Nonsense, okay? It was important to the morale of the troops, and he gave credit to everybody else. But in all their fervor about him spiking the ball, the mainstream media, who did not graduate from the depths of foreign policy schools, but pretty much communication majors who look good on television, didn't get that he just lumped every Muslim into the same category and called it a war.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, at least if he'd only named terrorist groups, you could say, okay, what he's saying is there are other terrorist groups out there. That's true. But not only does he diminish the very important role that Osama bin Laden had in Al-Qaeda, but then he says, Al-Qaeda, Shia, Sunni, Hezbollah, Hamas, as if every every one of the world's one...
those names, Mark.
1 billion Muslims.
My gut tells me because he was studied up enough that he knew those names, and when he uses the word caliphate, somebody prepped him on that, because you know that that is just not a word that Mitt Romney has in his vocabulary.
But I mean, there are other, there's the Islamic Jihad, there's PFLP, there are other Islamic terrorist groups out there that he could have named, but every Muslim, well, not every Muslim, 95% of the world's Muslims are either Shia or Sunni.
Right.
And that's 1 billion people. And I got word from Mitt Romney, they're not all terrorists. In fact, most of them are not. In fact, the vast majority of them are not. They're just individual people trying to live their lives. Please, to basically say, you know, it's like saying, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Muslims. What a list is that?
I rest my case. See, that's why I try to bring to our listening audience stuff that perhaps got overlooked, in the week with the mainstream media. Perhaps nobody even sort of glazed over that whole they're all Muslims thing. In the analysis of whether irrational exuberance by Alan Greenspan, excessive celebration is a term that we use on the football field for spiking the ball. And it was absolutely not the case with President Obama, and he has every right in the world as he campaigns for this to be playing his foreign policy credentials on this. He's ended the war in Iraq. He's backed off now. He will be out 2014 in Afghanistan taking a back role. He killed bin Laden. He destroyed most of the structure of Al-Qaeda. The world is a different place because of the actions he promised and delivered on. And if he can't run on that, if he can't use that as why we need to keep him in office, then there should be no such thing as elections in America. With that, I am going to have to relinquish my seat in the driver's seat here, happily so, and turn it over to Mark Levine from the Inside Scoop. Maybe he'll ask me on as a special guest coming up in the next hour. We can continue. I know Mark's got a lot of stuff prepped that he wants to talk about, so we'll switch chairs. We'll play a little game of switcheroo, and we'll all be listening, staying tuned for Mark Levine on the Inside Scoop. You've been listening to Nancy Skinner on Nancy Skinner Live with producer Pete. He's there too. Don't forget Pete. We don't ever forget Pete. You're always there in our hearts and minds and right next to us, except when you're not. More to come. See you guys next week on my show for sure, Nancy Skinner Live, right here on 1480 AM We Act Radio.